Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and this is the 57th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's dance the dance, they dance in France. Let's get to it. This episode is titled The Demon's Quest. The original air date, May 3rd, 1993. The title card is, it's nothing. Actually, there is no title card. We start off on the outside of a Gotham University. Well, of Gotham University, not a Gotham. Hey, we start off outside of Gotham University on a rainy night. We see a caped figure jump over the fence and break into a dorm room via a window. We get a good look at the culprit, and it's Robin. Light is shown on Robin's face, and he's shot by a tranquilizer dart. And I mean a real tranquilizer dart, not like the ones Batman uses. You know, the tranquilizer, quote-unquote, aka the revolver. Robin passes out, and a dark figure with a kick-ass jackal helmet stands over him. We fade to the Batcave, and now we get our title. How cool! We got a cold opening. That was awesome. Batman arrives in the Batcycle and speaks with Alfred. Batman has been looking for Robin, but has found no clues for the last 2 days. So for the last 2 days, nobody's seen Robin or Dick Grayson. Alfred hands Batman a package that arrived by messenger. Batman unmasks, and he opens the package. Bruce Wayne pulls out a photo from the package and is shocked beyond belief. He's just shocked. We get a good look at the picture, and it's Robin about to be beheaded. Holy crap. It has a note written on it that says, "Dear Batman, save him if you can." Ooh. Remember, this package was addressed to Bruce Wayne, but the inside calls out Batman. So someone knows his identity. My guess is that is Yoru Sensei from the Ninja episodes. He's tired of being treated like an idiot about knowing Batman's identity. That's what I think. That is really what I think right now. So you should all be outraged about it. Because how can you think that? That's not a clue, but that's what I really think. I really think that. At that point, we hear a voice. An old man walks in with a huge bald guy. And the bald guy throws a knife at Batman, who's about to rush them. The knife lands in front of Batman, stopping him in his tracks. The man then allows himself to introduce himself and his bodyguard.
"You must forgive Ubu, detective. He is well trained. Allow me to introduce myself. I am he who is called Ra's al Ghul."
"The demon's head. I thought you were only a legend."
"I am quite real."
Well, I'm sorry, those were my obvious bad guy alarms going off. I wonder if the guy who looks like the devil has the name of Ra's al Ghul, which is translated to the demon's head, can be a bad guy. Ra's mentions to Batman that his daughter Talia was kidnapped on the same night as Robin. And Ra's shows, okay, that's kind of confusing, because here he's called Ra's al Ghul, so I call him Ra's for some reason. So Ra's al Ghul. Yet in the movies, he's called Ra's al Ghul. And here his name is spelled R-A-J. And in the movies, it's R-A-S. And I, without looking it up right now, just can't figure what he's called in the comics. I can't remember what he's called, if it's Ra's or Ra's. I believe it's Ra's, R-A-J-H it might be. So it's always been weird whether he's Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul. I prefer Ra's just because it sounds like rage. So he's being called Rage for the animated series. We're going to call him Rage, even though in my notes I kept writing it as Ra's, because I guess it's just easier to write. Either way, Rage mentions to Batman that his daughter Talia was kidnapped on the same night as Robin. I think I read that already. Rage shows Batman a picture of Robin and Talia being held captive. And jeez, these pictures are dark. I mean, I wasn't kidding when I said the previous picture was Robin about to be beheaded. Now it's him and Talia tied up and looking like a picture of kidnapped victims from real life missing case, Terra Calico. I'm not making that up. Google Terra Calico picture, and that's pretty much what Robin and Talia are post-like. I'm not going to go into details about the case. Just look it up. Terra, T-A-R-A, Calico, C-A-L-I-C-O. Rosh wants Batman's help in finding her, but then starts coughing to death. But he doesn't die. He says he's older than Batman can imagine, but he's still able to help. Batman points out that the blade about to behead Robin, because I can't mention enough about how there's a reference to terrorist beheadings here on Batman the Animated Series. He mentions how the blade about to behead Robin looks like it's a blade used by mercenaries in Calcutta, and even the rope looks like it's indigenous to the area. Sure. Raj is like, well, I have a plane. And Batman is like, well, whatever, my plane is probably bigger, but I'll go along anyway. Then, Anyways, Raj then says, to India! And Batman walks, but he gets shoved by Ubu. Ubu says that Batman is not worthy to walk ahead of Ra's raged Al Ghul. And Batman says, that's strike one. We see Ra's and Batman on the plane to India. While Ra's gives us more info into who he is and how he found out about Batman's identity.
Just how did you learn who I am?
I control a vast global organization, Detective. Obviously, Batman's activities require certain costly implements. It was a simple matter for my people to learn which wealthy Americans were amassing what Batman might require. The one who matched my daughter's description of you was Bruce Wayne.
Next time, I'll have to glue my mask on.
You know, he's like the third person to find out Batman's identity in this series. And one of them was like by accident by some dude who just noticed somebody was ordering weird car parts. So I'm pretty sure it's not a big mystery. I think it's just that nobody's really looked into it. Rosh starts coughing to death, but he doesn't die. Batman offers help, but Rosh says, as Napoleon told me, a strong will can fuel a frail physique. And Batman's reaction to this is to get super, super angry. So I guess Batman must just hate Napoleon or ABBA. I'm not sure which. Can't hate ABBA, though. They're awesome. Batman and Rosh arrive in Calcutta, and they walk through the night in a city that looks like Agrabah from the Aladdin movie. Batman walks ahead of Rosh again, and Ubu grabs Batman and throws him against the wall. And Batman calls this strike two. Batman and Rosh are Batman and Rosh are attacked by Arabian ninjas, but Ubu takes Rosh to safety. Then Rosh stands there with an evil look in his face and he says, yes. Just like Mr. Burns. I'm sorry, these obvious bad guy alarms just keep going off. It must be a bad sensor. Batman beats up these dudes easily, and we see something moving behind them, and Ra's gives Batman a slight nod to a guy jumping off the roof. Batman knocks the guy down and gets information from him pretty easily, actually. The kidnappers have taken Robin and Talia to Malaysia, so Ra's and Batman drive there in a jeep. They drive through a forest, and Ra's and Batman have this discussion.
Look at it, Detective. One of the last of the rainforests. The world depends upon its oxygen, yet the rich see only profit in its destruction. You, who belong to the overclass, have much to answer for.
Bruce Wayne donates millions of dollars a year to preserve these forests,
which are being depleted at the rate of 120,000 acres a day. Does your money solve this problem? No. It will take more than wealth. It will take power. And I fear ruthlessness. Humankind must be forced to serve the planet instead of its own appetites.
And you're the one who'll do the forcing?
I am qualified, yes.
Yeah, you get the joke by now. They arrive at a temple, and Batman runs ahead and goes inside. He finds some artifacts like statues and a map. The door behind him closes and a small door opens inside, and a panther comes out. A freaking panther! Batman gets in a fight with a freaking panther, and Batman catches the panther, and did I mention this is a panther in his cape, and uses a small capsule of gas to put the panther to sleep. Batman then just puts his cape and mask back on. Dude, I'm sure the cape is full of sleeping gas residue, and you will probably fall asleep from it, at least get real woozy. And I'm actually surprised he's not sleeping, because to open the capsule with the sleeping gas, you have to bite off the tip. I don't think a capsule of gas where you have to bite the tip and then starts releasing smoke in your face is a good idea. But hey, I'm not Batman. Ubu breaks down the metal door because he's Kryptonian. And Raj heads inside. Batman finds that the map has a small scratch where it looks like someone traced the trail with their finger, which leads to the Himalayas. Raj is all like, yeah, I know that place, let's go, because he really hasn't done anything, so I guess he just wants to feel useful. This time, though, Batman bows and lets Raj walk ahead of him, and he gives a smirk to Ubu. Raj's helicopter flies over the Himalayas, and Batman has to jump with a parachute to search for clues while Raj will meet with Batman at the destination. Raj starts to cough to death, but he doesn't die. Ubu tells Raj that he needs to get him to a pit, and Batman is all like, a pit? And Raj is all like, oh, just ignore him. So Batman jumps off the plane, and then he sees a rocket coming at him. He dodges the rocket, and it blows up Raj's helicopter, killing all on board. Some ski ninjas with machine guns then attack Batman. And Batman looks cool as hell here, I might add, as he's wearing like a huge fur jacket over his costume. The ski ninjas find Batman's jacket and shoot it to death. But Batman jumps out from under the snow and he takes out both ski ninjas. Did I mention they're ski ninjas? Because they're ski ninjas, which is pretty freaking awesome. Batman arrives at a cave and he finds Robin inside. Batman is attacked by more ninjas, just regular ninjas this time though, not ski ninjas or Arabian ninjas. As Batman is taking out the ninjas, Robin just makes a goofy face for some reason, like if he has never seen Batman fight or something. Batman unties Robin, and then the lights are turned on. The lights inside the cave, I guess. And the person with that jackal helmet appears, and he's clapping. Batman tells Robin that he knows who the kidnapper is. Batman removes the helmet from the man, and it's Ra's al Ghul, oh no! I'm sure we all figured this out from the minute he showed up on screen. Hey, guy who looks like the devil with a goatee and hair that makes it look like you have horns, I'm sure you're not a bad guy. And then Batman explains everything for us dumbies.
So, how long have you known, Detective, that I planned your ward's capture?
Almost from the beginning. How could you have known that Robin and your daughter were abducted on the same night?
Unless I had done the abducting.
Exactly. And do you think I'd have let you take me anywhere in your plane unless I suspected you meant to lead me somewhere? For one thing, there were all those would-be assassins. They knew where we'd be and when. Someone had to be tipping them off, and that someone had to be you. Then there was Ubu, always by his master's side. Always very picky about letting you go ahead of everyone else. Except in Malaysia, where you knew there was danger waiting.
I'm deeply impressed.
As am I.
Talia appears, and holy hell, is it normal to get a crush on a cartoon character? She appears wearing like some outfit that looks like Princess Jasmine mixed with Chun-Li from Street Fighter. Batman is just done with all this. He's just like he can't even. And he asks Robin if he's ready to go. And Robin does nothing but make goofy faces. That's all he's done. Ever since he's been rescued, he just makes this face like, duh? What's going on? Although I do like how Robin is drawn in this episode. Because he looks younger for some reason. And he has like this spiky haircut that makes him look like Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know, he just looks cool. Batman and Robin walk away. But Ubu runs and gets in front of them. Ubu says that Raj hasn't given Batman permission to leave. And Batman says, I didn't ask for any. And then Ubu tries to punch Batman. Batman catches Ubu's fist and says, "That's strike three." Batman then crushes Ubu's hand using one hand. He has his fist in it and he presses it, and you hear like bones crunch and Ubu's face just turn to like pain. Then Batman picks him up, tosses him across the room, landing head first and knocking Ubu out. Talia stops Batman from leaving, saying she can't let him leave. Ra's explains that he needs a male to take over him when he is gone, and Batman is the perfect person because he is worthy without a shadow of a doubt, and also because Talia loves him. Talia then stands next to Batman and makes bedroom eyes at him, and Batman is now the one making goofy faces. Because I have said it since episode 1, Batman's weakness is women. Batman tells Ra's that he won't do it. And then Ra's throws a fit. But then he starts coughing. To death. Oh, hey, he does die this time. Talia rushes to him and tells Batman that he needs to take Ra's to the Lazarus pit. Batman feels Ra's pulse and says, "Pulse is bad, he can't fake that." Dude, you're in a comic book world. Everyone can fake their pulse stop with just a pill. Like, Romeo and Juliet did it. The mailman probably did it to get out of work that morning. Talia explains what the pit is.
"You want us to put him in that? You're crazy."
"No, listen to me. I know it is difficult to believe, but the pit is what keeps him alive. What has kept him alive for 600 years.
Batman, Robin, Ubu, and Talia, along with like 10 ninjas, walk into a cave. That's not a setup for a joke, that's the setup for this scene. There's a cave with a pit of boiling green lava. Also, Batman is carrying Ra's body when Ubu is like right there. Isn't that Ubu's job? They lure Ra's body into the pit using a crane, and Ra's is swallowed by the green lava, which makes Robin get one of the funniest lines, or the funniest line in the episode.
"We've killed him."
The pit suddenly just explodes, like with green lava all over the place. And we see Ra's fly through the air as fire comes out of his eyes and his mouth. That's not even an exaggeration. He starts breathing fire, literally. And then he flies through the air. I mean, literally flies through the air. So now he lands on the same ledge that Batman and the rest of the guys are standing on, and Talia. And he is no longer an old man. He is ripped and is about as muscular as Batman. Ra's starts laughing maniacally. It's not as good as the Joker. Sounds kind of goofy to me, actually. But still, I'll play a clip later on. Talia runs to him, but Ra's grabs her and picks her up over his head. He's like gorilla pressing her, like he's the ultimate warrior or something. Batman tries to save Talia, but Ra's takes out Batman and Robin with one kick. He kicks Batman, and Batman just falls onto Robin. Ra's turns, and he is ready to toss Talia into the lava below as he bellows with laughter. He creeps closer to the ledge, and he's about to throw her. To be continued. What? Oh, this was a really good episode. The story is actually very captivating. The animation is great and the music is awesome. The music has more of an Eastern vibe, like if it's like the Beatles during their Hare Krishna period. So it's really cool. I love the globe hopping, as I really like to see Batman in settings that aren't ordinary to him. And it reminds me a lot of the video game Uncharted for the PlayStation. So if you ever played the Uncharted series of games, this feels like it's like the stories from those games taking place with Batman instead of Nathan Drake. It's pretty cool. And since this is the first episode of a two-part story, I don't have many notes I can say without spoiling the rest of it. So we're going to leave that to next week. But I will give you some extra fun facts. The voice actress for Talia al Ghul is Helen Slater. If that name sounds familiar, it is because she is famous for playing Supergirl in the live-action Supergirl movie from 1984. Maybe one day I'll review it for Gotham Goes Hollywood. Ra's al Ghul is voiced by David Warner. That name may not mean nothing to you, but I guarantee that you have seen this guy before. He is a character actor. He's famous for always playing a sort of smug British person. Oh, wow, smug British person, huh? He was the lead scientist in the 1992 feature film Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, and the role I'm sure he's most famous from, he played the evil henchman to Billy Zane in the movie, the 1997 hit comedy, Titanic. So if you've seen Titanic, he's the old man that tries to get Leonardo DiCaprio's Jack arrested after he saved Rose from trying to commit suicide. Oh, that movie's hilarious. Extra fun fact, in the 2005 Chris Nolan movie Batman Begins, spoiler alert if you have not seen a movie from 12 years ago, the main villain is Ra's al Ghul, or he's called Ra's al Ghul, but either way. Actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson, or Dwayne The Rock Jones, as I have written, was rumored to be in talks to play Ubu. But as, you know, the movie came out, he wasn't in it, so obviously nothing came of it. But that would have been fun. So if you imagine what Ubu looks like, he looks like The Rock. An enormous mountain of a man, and bald.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Alright, everybody, it's time for the Batcave Archives. This is the part of the show where we rank each episode that we have reviewed thus far. This is episode number 57. If you would like to see the complete list, go to Facebook and look for I'm Batman the Podcast. Become part of the group. You don't have to become part of the group to see the list, but it'd be fun for you to do so. We do posts, we post funny pictures, talk about the episodes and such. Become part of the group. This episode, where would I rank it? Out of 57 episodes, I really like this episode. Ra's al Ghul is a cool villain. I mean, it's very obvious he's the villain from the beginning. But he's just a really cool villain. The chemistry, actually, between Batman and Ubu is the fun part of the episode. As Batman is just playing along with things, seeing what happens. And he's letting Ubu, when he could easily take him out, he's letting Ubu get away with it until it's too much. As I said, I like the animation. I like the design on Robin a lot. But the design on the other characters looks pretty cool as well. And you know my feelings on Talia al Ghul. So I'm not even going to go there. That'll be for my DeviantArt profile or something. I really like this episode. I'm going to rank this one a little bit higher than in the middle. I believe last week we had our episode See No Evil with the Invisible Man. We ranked that one at number 24. This is a much better episode than that one. Right above that we have POV, an episode where three cops tell their stories from their point of view about a meeting with Batman. This is a lot better. I don't know. I really like this episode. Could it be in the top 20? I think it would be. We have Joker's Favor, where Joker tricks that guy named Charlie into pulling off a crime for him by threatening him and his family. I don't know. This episode is kind of on par with that. It's a first part. That's the one thing that kind of damages these episodes, where it's not a complete story. But I really, really like the story we got here. It's not complete, obviously, since we ended on a cliffhanger, kind of literally, and we need to see how part two ends, but this is really, really intriguing. I want to see the other episode a lot now, especially to see what happens to Talia. Is her own father gonna kill her? Who knows? You gotta wait till next week. So, yeah, I'm gonna rank this episode pretty high. At number 19, we have the episode Vendetta, which is the first appearance of Killer Croc. I really like that episode as well. And at number 20, we have The Fear of Victory, the episode where the Scarecrow is rigging sports events. This episode is better than that. Actually, I think that this is going to go on the top 20 by a hair. So at number 20, The Demon's Quest, Part 1. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I mentioned it last week. I'll mention it again. If you are listening to this on iTunes, I would really appreciate it if you would go to the iTunes page and leave a review of the show. It would really help me to try to figure out where this is heading. We're almost halfway through all the episodes of the series, and I really just want to know what if you guys like the direction I'm taking, or if there's things that you would like me to change, and maybe if you have suggestions on your own, maybe more guests, or if you like a specific guest that we've had in the past back. So I would really like to hear from you. The people that have joined the Facebook group are great fans, so I really appreciate your feedback there. But also, if you like, you could go on iTunes and leave them there. I'll read the reviews and listen to what you guys are saying. Also on Saturday, if you live in the Los Angeles area, I will be once again part of a art walk where I will be selling my prints of my Royal Rumble painting. It's actually, I don't feel like bragging, not today, but it has gained quite some popularity. I have had people ask me where they could get a copy of their prints. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, they will be available for sale on April 8th, 2017, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Artist Corner Montebello Art Walk. It is located at 137 North Montebello Boulevard in the city of Montebello, California. So if you're in the area or if you're close by, attend, say hi. I'll be the guy with the big wrestling painting. So I think that's going to be it for this week. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are
the Demon's Head!